I don't know how many of you are severely nearsighted, but anybody here really have bad vision? Yeah? Remember getting your first pair of glasses? Pretty interesting, wasn't it? You have to. Many of you have never had this experience. I know as we get older, we can't read or get cataracts. It's a similar phenomenon. But when you're a child, and before you get your first pair of glasses, many of us did not know what life really looked like until we'd gotten our first pair. You have to have been through this. Thank God for thin lenses. My glasses used to be so thick. It sounds cliche, but they looked like the bottom of Coke bottles. And, you know, but it's kind of limited the size of my glasses over the years. But when I was about 8, you know, I used to be, when I was in elementary school, they used to alphabetize us. And so the teacher could remember our names. I ended up in the back row almost always, which normally is a good thing, actually, if you're a kid. But I couldn't see the blackboard, so I'd ask to be moved up front, and then I'd sit there squinting. I'm lucky my face didn't freeze in that position. But when I was 8, we were traveling down the Akron Expressway in Ohio, and my parents realized I couldn't see the signs like everyone else. So they brought me in, and I got my first pair of glasses. I could not believe what you could see. It had never occurred to me that everyone else was seeing things clearly except me. I think that when we get these apocalyptic readings, like we have this weekend, we're going to hear this next week and the week after, the second coming of Christ prepares for the first coming at Christmas. And so when we hear these readings, our Lord wants us to see the world as it really is, and not with the myopia of so many around us in our enlightened age scientifically and in so many ways, but for so many others, they live as if they have no glasses, as if this world right in front of my hand, this is about it for me, and everybody else has disappeared into a vast sea of unrecognizable faces without my glasses. This is the way it is for a lot of people without their glasses of faith. They can't really see what the world is like. They think they know, just as I thought I knew when I was 8 what the world looked like, but they don't. And our Lord wants to sharpen our vision because he's the one that came from the outside. He created it, of course, but then he entered into this creation and became a human being like we are in order to lead us to where we're going to go and to teach us and to speak to us. And he left behind a book so that we would be guided by it. It's called the Scriptures. And he founded a church so that we could be together and listen to the Scriptures every Sunday and worship him in spirit and truth. And when we hear the Scriptures and put them into practice, we're putting on our spiritual glasses. When I was young, I really liked astronomy. I read every book in the library in elementary school, and I think I would probably have been an astronomer, except the math once again got in the way, and I didn't want to go through that. Astronomy is nothing if not a math thing, you know. But I find these readings fascinating. As somebody who's always been fascinated by astronomy and that sort of thing, Christ and the first reading in the book of Daniel uses these images very profusely. You may be interested to know, I don't know how many of you know this, but the Vatican has 2 observatories. One is in Rome, the other is in Tucson, Arizona. And the Vatican has had that in Tucson for a couple of decades. The light in Rome has gotten so bad you can't see very well with that telescope, and so now they've moved out with, there's a bunch of other ones about 60 miles, I think, south of Tucson, southwest of Tucson. The Vatican's very interested in it. This is another homily. I may do a whole Faith 101 on this, that virtually every science has had prominent clerics in them, especially in the late Middle Ages. All we ever hear about is Galileo, you know, and people use that to beat the Catholic Church. The reality is that we have, you couldn't fill on 2 pages the number of prominent priests and deacons and prominent Catholic lay people, but even in the clergy that were founding many of these sciences. So our Lord invites us to look at the stars, I think. in these readings. And I want to point out to you some of the many ways in which we do so. The wise, this is from Daniel, the wise shall shine brightly like the splendor of the firmament, and those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. So our Lord, through Daniel, is inviting us to reach for the stars, if you will. Science, one of the things that science has taught us is that all the elements that of which we are made, all the heavier elements, were forged inside of stars billions of years ago. It's absolutely fascinating. And yet, our Lord is calling us, even when these bodies have turned to dust, that our destiny is with the stars. So, one way or another, our Lord is inviting us to see this more clearly. And another thing that we learn also from science, which I find fascinating, is that, 100 years ago, people thought that the universe consisted of the Milky Way galaxy. That was all the further we could see. Now we know, of course, that there are untold billions of galaxies, each with billions of stars. There are so many galaxies. Every man, woman, and child who's ever lived could have their own, and there are many, many to spare. So this gives us some idea about how vastly wealthy the Lord is, if you will, and how much he wants to give us. This is just the visible universe. There is far more on it. We see this with our spiritual glasses. The physical glasses show us only the visible universe. The spiritual glasses take us deeper. So we have to ask ourselves then, how is it that we can become one of the wise that shine brightly, the many to justice, so they can be like the stars forever? Our Lord talks about this in the Gospel from Mark. The sun will be darkened after the day of tribulation. The moon will not give its light. The stars will be falling from the sky. The powers of heaven will be shaken. These people will be able to see into space to see what's actually happening in this reading. And then they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. At that moment, the test of life is over for all of us. He will part the heavens and open them, and the world that's been invisible to everyone except through the glasses of faith will become visible, and immediately the angels who have been here the whole time, another dimension of reality that we can't see, but faith tells us is there, will manifest themselves and gather the elect from the four winds, the east, and the west, and the north, and the south, and the northwest, please God. And we're going to see the angels who have been there the whole time. And it should not come as a surprise to you this day, if we live to see it. And then our Lord says, heaven and earth are going to pass away. We know that this billions of years old, we don't know how it's going to end, but one day all of this will come to an end. But my words will not pass away. What's going to be left over when this world is gone? The wise shall shine brightly like the splendor of the firmament. Who are these wise people? Everyone who listens to the scriptures and the church puts it into practice. These are the wise people. The dumb ones are the ones that take off their spiritual glasses, throw them out, declare themselves atheists, and have a good time. They don't want to see. The Lord might give them some restrictions on their movements. Might make it tough on them. The wise put on their glasses. We know where we're going. We don't see it all, but we see enough to know what are the right choices. Those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. This is an interesting one. I don't suppose many of you feel that you're someone who leads the many to justice. But what does that really mean? All of us are called to be bright stars in the sky in the world to come. A star is a euphemism in the Bible, often for an angel. We are destined to live with the angels one day and to know them as friends. I find that an incredible and wonderful thing to hope for. So it's a great hopeful reading. Daniel also points out, some will rise to everlasting life and glory, others to everlasting shame. The difference is, did they listen to their conscience? Did they follow the scriptures? Did they do what God wanted them to do with the time of their life? There are many ways to lead many to justice. What our Lord is asking is not that you convert the world, but that you be a witness to your own little world, that we all live in. The Lord wants us to work for peace and justice. One way we can do this, I'm going to give you a few that are coming up here at St. Ed's, just for example. You could give $10 and feed four people at the Thanksgiving dinner. Most of you will have someplace else to go. But by doing that, the entire dinner, you are invested in it, and it all comes back to you. You've led many to justice, and you didn't even realize you did it. Bring one can of food to St. Vincent de Paul once a month. Fed the many, even though it was a very small amount. The giving tree will be out next week. You take an ornament for a needy family. You have given it to everyone. You see, God doesn't ask us to do it all, just our little bit. Even more so, how do I treat the people at work? How do I treat the people at school? How do I treat the people at home? What kind of life do I live? Do I live a life of integrity? This is to lead the many to justice. And if I fail, do I say I'm sorry? Do I go to confession if I need to? This is wise living. This is living for justice. And this kind of living, we will be very surprised at the intense reward that is coming. And all of this we can see as long as we continue to wear our spiritual glasses of faith.